Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's great to be here today, and we'll be talking about conscious compassion and awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air on World Talk Radio.
With our show hosts or guests during the live show, call us toll-free in North America, 888-514-2100. Everywhere else, call 001-858-268-3068.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Great to be on the air here.
It is, isn't it?
Yes. It's a beautiful day in California.
We're lucky people, aren't we?
We are.
Mm-hmm.
We are.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about that today, and because I think about that a lot. And I was thinking that probably that could be said for just about all of us, those of us here talking.
Yes.
And those listening in, and those who will be calling in a few minutes.
Yes.
We're lucky humans.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's exciting.
So that would be kind of a fun thing. I know we did a thankfulness thing recently because we did Thanksgiving, but I would love to hear from people what their language is, what they feel luckiest about, most fortunate, blessed.
Yeah,
what are the things that you kind of stop periodically and go, wow, I am really glad that,
uh-huh.
And then fill in the blank. You know, I'm really glad personally that I get to do what I do for a living. I think it's best.
Yeah,
you know, I'm really glad that I live where I live.
Yeah,
I'm glad that I get to visit all of the places that I visit.
Yeah,
things like that. You know, it's just. Yeah, we're lucky.
What we appreciate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember that saying, what we appreciate, appreciates.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, I think there is a lot to that, don't you?
Yes,
I do. And I think, of course, it ties in beautifully with the quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention.
Yes,
absolutely. I expect that those two sayings are saying exactly the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember reading Deepak Chopra saying, go first class and life will reward you.
Uh-huh.
Along those lines.
Uh-huh.
And to me, that's saying the same thing. You know, if you approach life as if you belong here and everything is on your side and supportive of you, then that's what life is going to produce.
Uh-huh.
But if we approach life, and it's not positive thinking, has nothing to do with positive thinking, let me be clear about that.
Uh-huh.
If we approach life as if it's not going to work, and, you know, everybody's kind of out to get me, and nothing's ever gone the way I wanted it to go, well, you know, that's probably pretty much what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And I think I said this to you recently, and maybe I said it on the radio, that 82-year-old woman who's my current hero, she started running marathons when she was 55, and now she's run over 100 of them around the world.
Yes.
And her saying, whether you think you can or you think you can't, either way, you're right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's all saying the same thing, isn't it? And much of it points at life is better when we focus on, when we turn our attention to what works and what we appreciate and what we feel lucky about.
Yes.
And we get more of that.
Yes. So let's invite people to call in and talk to us about that.
Maybe other people are having that experience and they'd like to talk about that.
Yes.
Maybe they are not having that experience and they'd like to talk about that, which is fine too. Or whatever experience they are having.
Yes.
Open here. Open air.
Whatever experience they're having, we want to hear from you.
That's right.
And that phone number is 1-888-514-2100. Again, that's 1-888-514-2100. And that's a toll-free number in the U.S. And if you want to call us from abroad, the phone number is 1-858-2100. 268-3068. Because we're open to a worldwide conversation.
Yes, we absolutely are.
Yes. Sherry, I wanted to highlight a couple of events that you have coming up. This Friday, December 17th and 18th, you're going to be at the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment in San Jose.
We're going to be talking about the divine.
The divine.
In the presence of the divine.
In the presence of the divine.
Doesn't that sound kind of divine?
It sounds exciting. Mm-hmm. So that's a Friday night talk and a Saturday workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And then
still room in both.
What's that?
There's still room in both.
There's still room in both. Wonderful. And you can get more information about that by going to Sherry's website, which is sherryhuber.com. You'll find all the information there. Also, we have some exciting things coming up in the new year, Sherry. Mm. On January 2nd, that's a Sunday, we're going to have our annual Best Year Yet workshop, which is a goal setting and planning program for the new year.
Yes, planning the future in the moment. And for people who like computers or for whom computers are a necessary evil or whatever they have in your life, this year there is an option of having your best year yet on your computer.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, this year comes with the software and I think with coaching.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty exciting.
Sounds like a lot of support for the goals that we would set.
Yes, yes.
Yes. And then on January 8th, we have a peace party and splash concert, and that's going to be in Marin, featuring some great music by Trish Colligan and her husband,
Richard,
and that'll be really exciting. It's a peace party also, right?
It is. Yep. It's just get together with really great people and have a good time.
Yeah.
And this is that music that I'm hoping that... that people love as much as I do because I want to do these concerts all over the country.
Uh-huh.
Just gather together people who are interested in waking up and ending suffering and having a soundtrack for that practice and coming together and singing along and lifting our hearts and like that.
That's great. 3 to 5 p.m. on January 8th. So put that on your calendar. And then, Sherry, you're going to get on the road again for a little bit, head to the south.
Yes.
And you'll
my
be
favorite place, two of my favorite places.
Yes.
Athens, Georgia, and then the mountains of North Carolina.
Yes.
People can check that out, and there are lots of venues there, lots of places that they can come and participate, and I hope they do.
Yes, Athens, Georgia, and Charlotte, North Carolina, and that's in the middle of January.
I'm not going to go to Charlotte. I love Charlotte, but I'm not going there. I'm going to Asheville.
Oh, okay. Is that where Malaprops is?
That's where Malaprops is.
Great.
Malaprops Bookstore, one of the finest.
Great. And that's in mid-January. And again, all of that information is on the website, sherryhuber.com, spelled C-H-E-R-I-H-U-B-E-R.com. If you want to reach us when we're not on the air, you can email us at openair@livingcompassion.org. We'd love to hear from you on any topic. If you have a question you'd like Sherry to address on the air, or you want to tell us something about the show, we'd love to hear from you. And you can listen to archives of all the shows right here at worldtalkradio.com.
You know, that email thing is really good. You mentioned the worldwide conversation. That's a great way for people who live in other time zones that make calling in impossible or the cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
It's possible to email in, and then we... have a discussion, and then they can listen to the archives, and if we didn't get it right, they can email back and say, that's not what I meant, and we can just continue that way until we reach a place of clarity about it, we hope.
Yes, yes. So give us a call today. We'd love to hear from you. The phone number is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-514-2100. Sherry, what is it about being appreciative and grateful that changes our life experience?
Well, I think it's what you said. What we appreciates. And it's very easy to confuse that with affirmations or positive thinking.
Uh-huh.
The reason, in my experience, that affirmations and positive thinking tend not to work is because we're doing those activities because what we're actually focused on is the opposite of them.
Uh-huh.
So what I believe about myself is that nothing is ever going to work for me. And so I make up an affirmation that says everything goes perfectly for me. Well, every time I say everything goes perfectly for me, what I'm really thinking is, no, it's not. Nothing ever works for me.
Uh-huh.
So I'm actually affirming what isn't working every time I try to have a positive thought and say the opposite.
Uh-huh.
But if I focus on what actually is working,
uh-huh.
that's true. You know, I don't have to make up something about what's actually true. And what happens, I think, for an awful lot of people when we're in that conditioned mind, when we're in the, you know, that little illusion of a separate self, that conditioned mind is focused on what I don't like, what isn't working, what's wrong. So, of course, I then, when I'm in that state, I miss all of the information about what's working. And if we picture it, I mean, maybe you can think of it like a computer program. Every time we think about what I don't like, what isn't working, what's wrong, it's like closing something down. So, you know, I've got all these programs open, and I'm just closing them down with what's wrong and what I don't like. When I focus on what's working, then it's like opening things up. You know, yes, okay, there's possibility there. Yes, there's possibility there. Yes, that could be expanded. Yes, there could be more of that. Yes, we're open to that.
Yes.
And so, again, the important thing about it is there's no conning yourself. It's just that if I'm going to focus on what's wrong, that's where all my attention goes, and that becomes the center of my world. Well, what if 10% of my life is not in a state that is what I would wish it to be?
Uh-huh.
If all I do is focus on that, it becomes 100% of my life experience.
Yes.
But if even if somebody out there is in a bad space today, and they say, well, about 95% of my life isn't working, which is just flat out, plain old, not true. It's not.
Uh-huh.
It's not. There is nobody, you know, who would ever, if you're breathing, it is not true that 95% of your life is not the way you want it to be. It's not true. Okay?
Yeah.
So, but say somebody says, okay, 95% of my life isn't working. All right, good, fine. Focus on the 5% of your life that is working. Appreciate that. Enjoy that. And that 5% becomes 100% of your experience.
Yes. Yes.
And it's not a con. You know, you're not conning yourself. It's the person who only has a slice of bread to eat. You know, if you focused on that slice of bread and that's all you've got, that is a delicious piece of bread.
Yes.
But if you're eating that piece of bread focused on all of the things that you'd rather have and how hungry you are and how this isn't, you know, this is not your choice, and then that slice of bread is going to be gone. It's probably going to do you very little good. You won't have enjoyed it, and that's the end of it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Now, this is inflammatory stuff, so if we're not inspiring somebody to pick up that phone and dial in, then nobody's listening to us today.
So if you are inflamed, please give us a call. Toll free, 888-514-2100. The phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you.
It reminds me of a conversation I had years ago with a fellow it was in a group discussion after a meditation, and he was all in a state because he was trying to save up a down payment for a house.
Uh-huh.
And he was just miserable. He was absolutely miserable.
Uh-huh.
Because it was taking every cent of money that he could get his hands on to save up the down payment so that he could get this house.
Uh-huh.
And what I attempted to point out to him was that what he was believing is that his happiness and good time was going to start when he got that house.
Uh-huh.
I said, you know, saving up the down payment for your house is as much a part of having that house as making the down payment, as moving in, as living in it.
Yeah.
It's all part of buying your house.
Yes.
So, you know, the possibility is really there to enjoy every minute of saving the down payment for the house that is going to be the house of your dreams that you're going to live in and love and be happy in.
Yes.
And I mean, he just turned around and looked at me and said, "You are crazy."
Aha. Uh-huh.
And fortunately, you know, I have a fairly good sense of humor. And so that struck me funny because I could actually see from his conditioned point of view how insane that sounded.
Uh-huh.
And yet, what I happen to, I'll just go on and say it, what I happen to know to be true is that if he wasn't able to enjoy saving up for that down payment,
right,
he wasn't going to enjoy the process of putting that money down on that house. He wasn't going to enjoy the process of buying that house. And the worst part of all, he wasn't going to enjoy living in it.
Yes.
And it was always going to be the fault of something that's not here now that, if it were, would make the difference.
Yes.
You know, out there in the future somewhere, when things are the way I want them to be, then I'll be happy. And it's just so not true.
It's all one process.
It's all one process. If you're not happy now, you're not going to be happy then. I don't care what you get.
Wow. Wow. This is good stuff, Sherry.
It is.
And we've been inflammatory enough to get the phone lines ringing, and we're going to talk to a caller right after this break. Listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and today we're talking about what we appreciate and what we're thankful for. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber, and we'll be continuing the conversation in this next segment.
Interested in advertising on any of our shows? Please click the advertise link on the homepage or send an email to ads@worldtalkradio.com. Or you can click on the sponsor this show link on any of the show pages.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. And today we're talking about what we appreciate. Sherry, we must have said something powerful there because the phones are lighting up. I'd like to welcome Susie Sifika. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi.
While I was waiting on hold, I had to count my breath to stay on the line. I decided to share that with you. It's a technique I learned from you.
Now, please say it again because I actually missed it.
While I was on hold, in order not to hang up, I had to count my breaths from 1 to 10 over and over again.
It's a good technique,
something about calling in is, you know, makes my heart race.
Yes.
But nobody was calling in, and I have a big issue, so here I am.
There you go. Perfect.
My issue is not about appreciation, unfortunately. My issue is I was wondering at what point when there's somebody in your life that is hurting you, at what point do you cut them out of your life or stop engaging with them, you know, say a family member or... Is that making sense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't... I'm talking about my mother-in-law. So it's not my mom, but it's my husband's mom. And she is, you know, she's manic depressive and anyway, she's very hard to deal with and is sort of... She's outright blaming us for her depression and several other things and demanding that we be very involved in her life and her suicide attempts and stuff. And, you know, I'm just to the point where I'm feeling like that I need to protect myself from her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here is the thing that is so for me. I don't have any shoulds about anything. In our daily recollection, we have a bead that's the karma bead, and it says it talks about being heir to karma and being supported by karma, and whatever I do creates karma, and I'll surely experience it. And it kind of hits you over the head with, don't try to figure this out in a way that's going to avoid karma, because it's just not going to happen.
Uh-huh.
So whatever it is that you decide to do, do that and pay attention. And my particular hero in that practice is Gandhi, who did his experiments in truth. So he would do something, and he would watch what happened. And then he would do something, and he would watch what happened. Because he was attempting to break out of conditioned belief systems, all conditioned belief systems, not just ones that he got from society, but also ones that he learned from religion. So what is really so? What is really going on here? So from that perspective, I encourage people to do whatever occurs to them to do.
Uh-huh.
My encouragement is, don't believe it's true or that there's any validity to it.
Validity to what? To all of it?
To all of it. Let's just go right there, to all of it. But especially to what you're doing. So what we say is, I want to move out of this relationship because I need to protect myself.
Yes.
Because this person is really unhealthy, because this is unwholesome, because this is unfair, because this is, okay? It's possible to say, I'm moving out of this relationship because I don't want to be in it.
Okay.
Which is pretty outrageous from a conditioned perspective. So if, so this is your mother-in-law, so you have a relationship with a husband, obviously, and if you were to get up one day and just realize, you know, I don't want to be married. I just don't want to be married. Now, of course, if you're doing awareness practice, people like me would try to encourage you to consider that this might be a subpersonality and that this might be something that passes, so you might not want to act too quickly on such a large life issue.
Right.
Okay? But if you just woke up one morning and said, you know, I just don't want to be married any longer, people would say to you, why? What's wrong? What is he doing? What is he not doing? What are you doing? Whose fault is this? What's wrong? Okay? Because it's not okay to just simply decide you want to do something or decide you don't want to do something. You have to have good reasons.
I have to have what?
Good reasons. But to me, good reasons are just rationalizations. They're just something that socialized human beings with conditioned minds do.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So experiment with this and see what happens. And then try that and see what happens. And try that and see what happens. But don't, if you want to get through the conditioning in a hurry,
mm-hmm.
don't focus on the content of this and believing that the content is the important thing. Because the important thing is seeing how you suffer in certain circumstances and figuring out how you can get free of that suffering.
Okay.
Are you with me?
I am with you.
Okay. Now, an example of what I mean, okay? So you have this mother-in-law who has a label of manic depressive and is suicidal and wants to involve you in it and this sort of thing, okay? Now, that's somebody's belief system about what's going on,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Yeah. Because I bet there are different parts of you who have different, very different opinions about this situation, okay?
Yes.
But let's just say that is the God's truth right there, okay? So a person could say, well, you know, I need to move in with her and save her. I need to move very far away to a place where there is no electricity and no telephone, and preferably no roads. okay, so that she can never contact us again and we never have to see her again. Okay?
Right.
A person could say, you know, this has got to be a comedy, not a tragedy. So where is the humor in this situation? A person could be taking it not personally at all, have no connection to it whatsoever. Because, you know, there are manic depressive people who are suicidal all over the planet, and you know, we don't even know that they exist. Okay? Now, those are just four possible options, directions that a person, attitudes, perspectives that a person could have toward this situation.
And just pick one and watch.
Yep. Pick one and see what happens.
And if it brings up lots of guilt,
then you
and
get
fear that she's,
guilt, don't you?
She's going to blow her head off, just watch.
Yeah. Well, you watch your guilt. Because the other thing that just got revealed in that is if you do the right thing, you'll be able to control other people and life. If you figure out the right answer, she won't blow her head off.
Or more importantly, if I do the wrong thing, she will.
Yeah. Now, is that what this is really about?
Well, I am afraid of doing the wrong thing and having her hurt herself, or just
then you get to look at your fear and how fear causes you to attempt to figure out what's right and what's wrong, so that you can do the right thing, so that you won't have to be afraid. Okay. So if you can figure out how to do the right thing, you'll be the right person. You won't make a mistake. You'll be able to control other people and life, and then you'll feel the way you want to feel.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not true?
That is not true.
okay.
Yeah. That
well,
is
thank
not
you.
True. Isn't that astounding?
It is astounding.
Yeah. It is astounding, and it's huge, and it's the reason that I'm encouraging you to focus on you, on what you believe, on what you think, on how you get twisted up into knots trying to be the person who is going to make life give you the right results. And it just doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
And you know that.
Yeah.
You've twisted yourself for all this time, and you haven't been able to make life work the way it's supposed to work. So at a certain point, you know, we have to stop and say, now, wait a minute. What if the original premise is inaccurate?
And you have to keep doing that as a thing.
Yes.
I mean, there's
too.
Lots of areas that
yes.
have done exactly that process.
Yes.
But then new stimulus comes in.
Yes.
And I have to do it again.
Now, here's the secret to all of this, okay? You have to learn to love awareness. If you love awareness,
mm-hmm.
all of this becomes very exciting. If everything you become aware of is another piece of information that you're the wrong person, you're not going to last long. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Now, here's the other just startling, astounding, huge, enormous thing that would be really good for us all to get at the deepest possible level. We're all exactly alike. The process that you just described and that I reflected back to you is a process that every conditioned human being does. We're trying to get it right so that we'll get what we want. And often what we want is just not to feel bad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or it's the name of the game. Just start looking around at life from, you know, put those glasses on and see if you can see that. If you look at a situation and say, now, is it possible in this situation that these people are doing everything that they're doing to try to get it right so that they'll get the results that they want? Would that make sense out of what people are doing in life? And I think that you'll begin to see that that may not be the explanation, but it certainly is a plausible explanation. Now, that sounds like a homework assignment, doesn't it?
It sounds like a very big homework assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm up for the task.
Isn't that good?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is very, very good to know that. It doesn't mean you're going to be wildly enthusiastic every waking moment of every day.
No.
But you are up for the task. And I project that part of that is that you have reached that, I would say desirable state, and other people would disagree with me, where you really don't have many other choices. You really need to wake up and end suffering.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been to that point many times, mm-hmm. and I'm to that point again in this situation.
Yeah. And
I always have to look at it as an adventure, or my fear would keep me from examining any of it.
Yes. And then you go up to the edge of the cliff and you know you have to jump. You just know it. And you even know at some level that when you jump, you're going to fly. Hey, you go up there and the voices kick in. Oh, my God, you're going to die. This isn't going to work. This is crazy. What's the matter? And you retreat. And then it gets so miserable and uncomfortable back there where you are that you head out to the edge of that cliff again. Okay, and then you get there and the voices kick in. Oh, my God, you're going to die. This is insane. It wasn't really that bad back there. Go back there. Go back there. Go back there. You'll be safe. You go back there, and it's hideous. Okay, it reminds me, I just had an image when I was doing that of in a baseball game when a runner gets trapped between first and second base, and they just start throwing the ball back and forth,
uh-huh.
and it's getting closer and closer, and there's just nowhere to go.
Yes.
Yeah, so there you are at the edge of that cliff. And you hear those voices, and they're trying to convince you that back there in ignorance and delusion, it's not really that bad, and you know it is. Yeah, and all that you're required to do is open your eyes and look at it all, and you're up for the task.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Hey, let us know, okay?
I will.
Yeah, give it, please. Don't just fly off that cliff and leave us wondering what happened to you. Let us know how it goes.
I will. Thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Susie. Into Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. It's an exciting show today. We have lots of callers.
People are so courageous.
People are very courageous.
Golly gee.
And we have some more courageous callers right after this break. Listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We have an exciting show today. We're talking about what we appreciate and taking your call. So keep it tuned here for the final segment on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We have an exciting show today, and Sherry, we have two more callers here.
Great.
So welcome, Jane from Santa Cruz. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Well, I was just going to hang up. I didn't do it in time. Hello, Michael. Hello, Sherry. Actually, Sherry, I took part in the email classes that we just ended.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yes, and I wanted to kind of continue a conversation because one of the things that you told me to notice, actually, our discussion today about focusing on the 5 or 10% that's wrong instead of what's right, I think is could be very helpful. It was kind of exciting to me to hear that. And the issue was the one of identifying as a person who can't afford to do something or doesn't have the talent to make a living at something wonderful. And you asked me to notice how committed I was in writing that to that identity. And I realized, and what I would be if I didn't have those limitations.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote back that, well, that's a very good question. That is something to look at. And another thing you asked me to do was to invite that part of myself that feels envy or bitterness into the fold, compassionate, conscious awareness. And I'm curious as to, I mean, I've heard this before many times, that if that part is welcomed and embraced, that's great. And if it's not, then it's egocentric karmic conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to know a little more about how does that look? I mean, how do you offer to bring that part into you and try to actually comfort it and see if it can be healed?
Okay. That's such an important point and an important and fine distinction. Okay? And this is kind of, it's one of those places where I can tell you this, and then you really have to look carefully to see how it plays out for you.
Okay.
But just as a rule of thumb, I would say this. Aspects of the personality tend to be emotionally very young. Now, even if they have, you have a subpersonality who is in her late teens. Still, emotionally, she's very young. For instance, a frightened part may actually show up as somebody who's worried about not being able to make the house payment, or what's going to happen when I get old, or, you know, those kinds of concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But the fear aspect of it is very young.
I see.
So it would be possible to change, you know, you could follow that fear back. You know, I'm not going to have, or I'm not going to be all right. Now it's the voice is saying this. 10 years ago it was saying that. 10 years before that, you know, and you keep going back to the earliest point, and you can find that part of you who is worried about not having enough or not being okay. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about aspects of the personality is that they tend to talk, if they're being critical of you, they tend to sound very young.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And now, that doesn't mean that you wouldn't have, say, a philosopher type or a, you know, a junior psychologist who is going to sort of point out things to you that you're doing that, you know, in the, again, that kind of teenage way. But if you follow it back, no matter how sophisticated the presentation of the language, if you get to what the core of it is, what's underneath that,
mm-hmm.
you can trace that back, okay? And those aspects of your personality want to be taken in, and they want to be listened to, and they want to be understood, and to have what they want. So, you know, they're definitely in pursuit of a relationship that's going to meet their needs.
I see.
That doesn't mean that they might not be snotty or defended or any of those kinds of things. Because, again, if you get, you know, you run into a surly teenager, she's liable to not just hop on board the first time you turn around and say, you know, you want to go to the mall with me.
Mm-hmm.
And this person is open to a relationship with you, okay? Wants the attention, wants the time, even if there's an argument involved. The egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hatred has a very different tone to it. It focuses on problems because problems maintain it. It doesn't focus on problems because it wants a solution to the problem.
Mm.
So when you run into that kind of karmic conditioning, you'll come up with a solution, and there's a reason it won't work.
Mm.
You come up with a solution, and it's sabotaged. Okay? And it just keeps wanting to go back to the same problem. So no matter what anybody said or did, it's still, no, that's not going to work for me because, and then it'll repeat the same problem. Okay?
I see.
When we slide over into the other side of the slash mark, then we are into self-hatred. Self-hatred is pretty evident. You have a problem because you are stupid and a loser, and you always have been, and you always will be, and this is why you have the problem, and give up trying to come up with a solution because you couldn't. That's why you're in this position in the first, you know. I mean, it's nasty.
Mm.
And again, there's no openness to, well, I'm going to do this, or, it's fine. Learn a foreign language. You think that's going to do you any good? What are you going to do with that? You know, go ahead, take that job. You're going to fail at it just like you failed at everything else. Okay? That conversation, you don't need to have anymore.
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So the kind, when you talk about having a relationship, it's like having that kind of conversation or discussion with a part of yourself and seeing what the flavor of that conversation might be.
That's right. And your experience, you know, I always put you in quotes, as you know, from the email class, because we don't know who you are, right?
Right.
But you will get a sense of how centered you are by your ability to stay in the conversation. You know, if self-hate hits you and you just turn into a terrified puddle, then you can know that you have identified with an aspect of your personality that's a very small child.
Ah.
Okay? Now, if you can sort of stay in that mentor role where you recognize self-hatred for what it is,
mm-hmm.
and you're seeing these little parts of yourself, these emotional little parts, and you're feeling sympathy for them, and you're wanting to, I love you just as you are, and I'll help you be however you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're doing the encouraging and the coaching and that sort of, well, you know, you're pretty close to center there.
So that would be like in this case, if I were to say, yeah, you know, it does feel bad that, oh, we aren't going to Bali next month, for example. But, you know, maybe there's this little trip coming up. Maybe we can try to work something out to get to do that.
That's right. And what do you think it would take for us to go to Bali?
Right, right. Instead of, oh, you know you can't. You know you can't do that kind of thing. You just don't have the money. Blah, 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 blah.
That's
that
right.
Kind of thing.
And so, well, yeah, okay, I'm not going there. I'm going with, you know, a lot of people go to Bali. You know, it's not like we would go as the first explorers. Okay, so a lot of people are doing it. Somehow they managed to do it. Let's
right.
figure out what they're doing.
Right, right. Uh-huh, yeah.
So then, that opens up so much. So maybe there's an organization that does service work there. And
right.
maybe you could go there and be with them. Maybe there's a ha-ha-ha-ha. Maybe you start doing this other thing and you put it in your Bali fund. Maybe you do a fundraiser because you want to go there and you want to look into this, da-da-da-da-da. You know, who knows
mm-hmm.
what would open
mm-hmm.
up once you realize, hey, I'm going to Bali. I'm
right.
going.
Right.
Now, all I have to do is figure out how.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just a whole different orientation to life.
Yes. Yes, and it's kind of just like you said when we started this conversation of to, you know, focus on what isn't working as it doesn't get you anywhere but make things not work.
That's exactly right. Yeah. But this is opening doors.
Right.
Now you're listening for everything that you can find out about people in Bali, people who are going to Bali, how they go to Bali, how
right.
they go anywhere.
Right.
You know, how do you travel? What do you do if that's what you want to do? What's the best way to do it? What are the possibilities here? Yeah, now you're talking. You're talking to strangers because they mentioned something, and you and there's a connection, and they know somebody who knows somebody, and you're reading articles, and you're taking classes, and your world is just opening and opening and opening and opening.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm glad you didn't hang up.
Me too. Me
bye.
Too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have one more caller and only a couple of minutes.
Better talk fast.
Better talk quick. I'd like to welcome Catherine from New Jersey. You're on Open Air with Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Great.
What's going on?
I am, well, I just did your class also online, and so I'm in a much better place, but I had a baby 14 months ago, and really ever since he was born, conditioning really, like, has gone crazy. with just lots of guilt, and you need to raise him this way. No, you should be doing this. You should be attaching. No, you should let him cry. All of those sorts of things. And I'm in a much better place now, but I still, you know, I guess, I don't know, there's a junior psychologist or something in here who's just sort of saying, well, what's the right way to do this and how...
Okay, I can answer this one really fast. And then can you call us next week and we'll continue the discussion?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So here's the thing. He, did you say, little boy?
Yes.
Okay. The one thing that we can know, there are all kinds of choices and decisions that you could make. You know, you pick him up, you don't pick him up, you feed him this, you don't feed him that. The one thing that we can know for sure,
mm-hmm.
we don't want him to grow up with self-hatred.
Right.
So the best way to make sure that that happens,
mm-hmm.
or doesn't happen, whichever way that sentence should go, is for his mom not to be raising him from a place of guilt, fear, and self-hatred.
Right.
So here's the mantra, okay? Here's
okay.
the mantra. And then when you call back, you can let us know, okay?
Okay.
What's his name?
Ryan.
Ryan. Okay. I love you, Ryan. I may not be the most skillful mom in the world, but no mom ever loved a child more than I love you, and I'm doing the very best that I can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Every time one of those voices comes up,
yeah.
that's what you tell him.
Okay.
Can you picture it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's all that child needs to know. And, of course,
right.
every time you say it, he knows it. He doesn't know what he knows, of course, because, blessedly, he's not concerned about those things at this point.
Right.
But he knows the feeling that he's getting.
Mm-hmm.
Can you picture that?
Yes. And I'm, yes. Definitely.
And?
No, because I've felt like, oh, he can sense that I'm frustrated or I'm...
He can.
You know, feeling like I'm not doing something right.
That's right. And here's the deal. Again, he doesn't know content. He just gets the feeling.
Right.
You know, mom's really, there's uneasy. You know, we're in California, so, you know, we out here we talk about energy and vibrations and things like, you know, and that's what he's getting. Ooh, something doesn't feel right. Ooh, something doesn't feel right.
Right.
And so if mom is in a place of saying, of course I'm not the best mom in the world. Who is that? You know, of course I'm not meeting anybody's standards for perfection, but I love my child.
Mm-hmm.
That much we know. I love you, and me loving you is going to make a much more of a difference than if everything I do meets with somebody's standards about how a child should be raised.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't know. I've never talked to a single person who said, you know, I'm really upset because my mother didn't, you know, and then it's some, you know, feed me the right, you know, only organic broccoli or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the gripes are, I didn't feel loved.
Right.
Yeah. So you love him. You're home free. You're doing everything right.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
Yeah, and you're going to let us know, right?
I am.
Okay, we'll talk more next week.
Okay, great.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. You've been listening to another great episode of Open Air with Sherry Huber on
episode.
World Talk Radio.
It sounds like we're a serial. I love it. Like Saturday afternoon serial, an episode.
Yes, it's been a great show. Thank you, Sherry.
Let's do it again.
Let's do it again.
Thanks, Michael.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.